Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. I'm pleased to say that we have with us a man who has been a stalwart in that war for many years. Based primarily in Boston, he is Dr. Charles Jacobs and has founded and runs an organization called Americans for Peace and Tolerance, one of a number of organizations he has led over the years. And throughout those years, he has been a voice of both reason and courage and conviction on matters involving threats to this country, to its freedoms, and to its people, notably arising from the Islamic supremacists and their Sharia program. Dr. Jacobs was with us for our Defeat Jihad Summit last week in Washington and made a very important intervention and, among other things, has published on the subject that we wanted to visit with him today, namely the president's Countering Violent Extremism Summit that is scheduled to begin shortly and that will take place at the White House and, I guess, at the State Department, and what the, well, as you've called it, the denial and deception that is involved in its course. Talk a bit about that, Charles, and welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. Great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, Frank. You know, the president just can't bring himself to say the actual words that describe the reality, the realities that we face. You know, we've had workplace violence. Now, there's random shootings at kosher delis. He seems to have employed a semantics czar as well as some of the others. Now, what's coming up in Washington tomorrow is a summit on combating not jihad, not Islamic extremism, not radical Islam, but violent extremism. And that's the euphemism of the day. And the strange thing about this, or my most ironic and actually shocking thing, is that he's named three cities which are to be the models and pilots that show how this can work. One of them is Boston. Now, I live in Boston, and I remember you coming up, about 8 years ago, joining us in a protest picket line outside a Muslim Brotherhood mega mosque in Boston. And that's the problem here. The very group that the Obama administration program is touting as the go-to Muslim moderate group to help us combat violent extremism is a group that is itself extremist.
Now, talk a bit about that in the specific context of Boston, where you live, Charles Jacobs, and how the administration's narrative really is just completely at odds with the facts on the ground.
Well, yes. I mean, in the 1980s, a man named Abdul Rahman Alamoudi created the first Islamic Society of Boston Mosque in Cambridge, Massachusetts, not far from Harvard. Turns out that this was the mosque that the Marathon bombers, that Tsarnaev brothers, prayed at. Alamoudi was supposed to be the moderate Muslim that the West could look to bridge the cultures between Islam and us. And it turned out that he was instead the model of deception. He was a Muslim Brotherhood. He raised money for Al-Qaeda, etc. That was the seed. Years went by, and the people at that mosque were radicalizing what we know is the historically moderate Muslim population in Boston. And out of that came people like Afia Siddiqui, Lady Al-Qaeda, who's now in jail for more than 80 years for having plotted a biological terror attack in Times Square with Ebola. Out of that came Tariq Mahana, who is now in jail for having plotted a Mumbai-like machine gun attack on shoppers in a mall in Attleboro. Out of that came Ahmed Abu Samra, who is Mahana's partner, who fled to Syria and now is a leader and maybe the guru of ISIS's very effective video campaigns, social media campaigns, etc., etc., etc.
So these are the sorts of people who have been involved with either the Islamic Society of Boston or what has actually been described by its own leaders as the Muslim Brotherhood's organization in America, the Muslim American Society. And yet, Charles, we have this bizarre situation in which the president and his minions, and for that matter, local authorities, the mayor of Boston in the past, the law enforcement community, and so on, reaching out to these same, well, organizations that that have such dubious ties. What does this say, in your professional judgment, Charles, about the whole construct of this countering violent extremism? Are they dignifying and, well, enabling, empowering jihadists by engaging in this kind of denial at best and deception at worst?
Yes, they're enabling jihadism here in Boston. They're enabling the inculcation of radical theology into the Muslim population in the Boston area. And they do this through their semantic games. And there are 12 people now. I mean, we took out a full-page ad in the Washington Times, and it's on our website. There are 12 people who are connected to jihad activities, who are either in jail, dead, on the run, or awaiting trial, all connected to this very group that the summit is inviting in and has worked with as partners for peace, partners against violent extremism. It's just absolutely bizarre. In fact, you know, Obama may have it right. This is the model, but it's not the model that he's saying it is. It's the model for the deception and self-deception that lie at the base of Islamist penetration into American society. What he's doing, Frank, he's bringing his failed foreign policy right here to our shores. I mean, this is, Boston is Yemen, right? Yemen was the model that worked. Libya was the model that worked. Well, now Boston is going to be the model that worked. The question is, works for what?
Yeah. And that's really the heart of the matter, Charles Jacobs. Again, we're talking with the president of Americans for Peace and Tolerance. And you can find more of Charles's work at his website, peaceandtolerance.org. To what end? What is it that the president seems to be doing with this kind of program? Americans, I think, have in large numbers now begun to realize that it isn't as it's being represented. But what do you believe is the ultimate purpose of this kind of behavior? And that we will be probably hearing more about, not only with respect to Minneapolis and Los Angeles, two other model cities that are also very problematic in terms of the administration's outreach, but more broadly.
Well, you know, you're right that everybody now has kind of caught on. I mean, even Thomas Friedman, who's sycophantically followed the president for all these years, has called it ridiculous that he won't say radical Islam. Well, in Boston, you know, one of the reasons they say it picked Boston is because there has been an extraordinarily significant decline in the homicide rate here because of cooperation between the police and the community. And that's the model. You see, this is just crime. Jihad is a street crime. He's the mayor of the world, and he's got crime to deal with, and so he applies this model of community police cooperation. The problem is that knocking over a jewelry store is not the, quite the same thing as jihad. I mean, people who do it don't scream Allah Akbar, and when they shoot people, they say, as Edward G. Robinson would have said, take that, you dirty rat, not praise Allah. So it's a completely flawed analogy, and when you ask me, to what end? I have to say, I have never seen so much speculation about the question, is the president really a Muslim? Is he an Islamophile? Or is he merely like a left-wing college professor who got lucky? I don't believe that he's a Muslim, but my goodness, I mean, it is kind of strange that he doesn't seem to be on our side in this global war.
Yeah. To the contrary, what we've really seen, and your story about the Islamic Society of Boston, Abdurrahman Alamoudi's old operation, your story about the Muslim American Society, and of course, the various alliances that he has struck with the Muslim Brotherhood, his accommodations of the Taliban, his efforts to topple friendly governments in the Middle East, his deals with Iran. all of this very strongly affirms what you've just said, which the president is on the wrong side, and he's putting America not only on the wrong side, but at risk. Charles Jacobs, we have to leave it at that for the moment. We appreciate so much your leadership in this very important fight, the counter-jihad, as I call it, notably the work you're doing today at Americans for Peace and Tolerance. Please check out his website, peaceandtolerance.org. Charles, keep it up and come back to us again, if you would, very soon.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.